Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our back in our Father's Word. How precious it is. Christ is about to be glorified in as much as he's going to pay that price. And Judas Iscariot is already making arrangements. Passover is approaching. So let's pick it up in chapter 13, verse 20. A word of wisdom from our Father. Christ continues, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." And remember, sent is apostle. A sent one is an apostle. And when one is gifted that way, well, it is true. Father loves people that really teach the word. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and he testified and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. I want to explain this a little bit. They are sitting at a table all on one side. Christ is about centered. If you could picture the picture of the Last Supper, you can understand what I mean. And with one on one side of Christ and one on the other, you had to lean abreast of his bosom before you could talk to the other one. And that's all this means. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned on him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Which one of them? 25, he then, lying on Jesus' breast, leaning forward of him, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" 26, and Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Here we have the broken bread, Christ being that bread of life. And it is dipped and given to the betrayer. Judas, the bread was available for Judas. Christ even gave it to him. He would later repent. That's why you want to be careful about judging Judas. It is true that he hanged himself, but he had lots of help when you read Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." In other words, he knew exactly what was going down. 28, now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. He had no clue. 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, remember he was carrying the money, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Now, the only thing that Judas was interested in was putting the money in his own pocket. 30, and he then, having received the sop, went immediately out. And it was night. He was in the darkness, in other words. 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." In other words, The delivering up will take place. The crucifixion will place Christ as the sacrificial lamb for that exact time. God arranges everything. That's why you should take strength in that. That as it's written, that's the way it's going to be. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway, that's immediately, glorify him. And that he did. What happened when when Christ was nailed to that cross at exactly 3 p.m., darkness came over the world, but Christ brought about the rending of the veil on the Holy of Holies. And the glorifying is that you can walk right in. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a priest. You don't need a go-between. The Holy Comforter is going to tell you, come on in. You're welcome. It opened the very Holy of Holies to whomsoever will. And what a glorifying of our Father that was. 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that's the standpoint of Christianity. We're talking about sent ones here, people that follow. And you always take time to plant that seed even to an unbeliever. That's the way the ministry grows. 35, but this shall all men, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. In other words, you can always mark God's election by compassion. They will have compassion, and it is a mark and so easily read. 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. It is given that everyone must die once. 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I'm ready. 38, and Jesus answered him. This is to the chagrin of poor old Peter. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I really believe that this happened to Peter for our benefit, to keep you from, to strengthen you against Satan's day. You do not wish this shame to fall upon you, to deny Christ. And many people have laid their lives down rather than to deny Christ. And as it is, it's Christ usually takes care of his own. So it is. But I'm sure that this went deep in the mind of Peter. Chapter 14, verse 1. In this particular chapter, I'm going to teach you two Greek words. It's important that you understand the Greek or you will not understand the chapter. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled, but believe in God and believe also in me. Meaning, if you will do that, trouble will be dispelled. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This word mansions, I mean, people visualize some, in heaven we're going to have big, huge homes. That's not what it says at all. The word is M-O-N-E in the Greek, moni, or mone, if you wish to pronounce it that way. What it means is a resting place. And it's real simple to figure that out. If you don't have Christ, and if you don't have the Father, you're not going to have any rest. But that's how you find that rest, Moni, is in being in the Father and He in you, and the Son loving you. This will come up a sister word more than one time in this. And it means to abide with God if you want His protection. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there's that sacred name, there you may be also. And so it was that he pronounces this, there would be a second advent. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And this is going to throw him a little bit. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, Christ, how many times has Christ taught that he's the way? He's the path you must take. And here, poor old doubting Thomas said, we don't know the way. And the way was standing right before them. The way was Messiah. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by him how? Well, he gave this example just days before this by taking off his outer robe and girding himself with a towel and washing their feet, meaning he was the only one that could remove the dirt, the sin, the shortcomings from them. He is the gate, and he is the way. And so it is that he would bring forth that beautiful teaching. He is the only way. That offends some people, but it's still a fact. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now think about that a moment. You not only know him, but you've seen him. I would call your mind to the very beginning, and we'll talk about it here in a moment. Philip, verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. It'll satisfy us. Just show us the Father. Excuse me, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Can you remember back in the very beginning, in the great book of Genesis, when in verse 1 God said, let us create man in our image, including himself? Each person looks as their spiritual body looked. And Christ himself, born of a virgin, as Isaiah 7:14 so declares, was God in person. Emmanuel, God with us, looked just like him. Exact same image. So if you've seen Christ, you've seen the image of God. It's really quite that simple. Again, it's difficult for some, but it shouldn't be. It was declared long ago, one of the first prophecies in the Bible of outcome. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? I am, again, that sacred name slipped in there. And the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, not my word. But the word that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works, he being our Father. Now, another word you must learn, dwelleth. Father that dwelleth in me. This word dwelleth is a meno. It's from the prime that moni comes from. It means together. It means that resting place. It means to dwell or to be with them, to be at ease, to be satisfied, to have a place of safety, because God is there. This is very important. Mone in verse 2 mentions, dwelleth here in verse 10, meno, the prime for nane. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake, the miracles that I have performed. If you can't believe on anything else, believe them. No man can raise somebody from the dead as I raised Lazarus from the dead. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, there have been many things transpire, and people don't think of things as miracles sometimes. God can bring wonderful things to pass. He will always, if you take up his cross, that is to say, believe upon him and on the word, which is God, then you can rest assured that he's going to be with you. And so it is. But what about these greater works? Well, think about it. In Christ's time, you had hundreds and more, no PA systems. But now, God made arrangements to hang satellites out in the sky that you can speak in a nanosecond. It can go around the world. People then would consider that quite a miracle. I don't know, do you today? Think about it. Nothing happens by accident in God's plan. God's plan is perfect. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that, well, I can ask for anything I want to. No, if you're a sent one, and if you're building a ministry, if you're building something to help the children, he will give you the raw material, but you've got to do the building. Trust me, that's the way it is. If you really want to put out the effort, he'll furnish you the bricks to build the ministry. If you ask, and who do you ask in the name of Christ? 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's very important. Well, why my name? Well, ask in Christ's name. That gives credentials that you're a Christ man, a Christian. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's important. Do your best with it. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. There's that word abide. Same word, menon, as dwelleth. That you actually live with him forever. That you're with him. A safe place. He looking after and over. 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Do you understand what this word dwelleth is? It is meno again. A resting place. When he dwells with you, you're protected. And that's the beauty of it. Again, the word dwelleth is meno again. And how precious it is. That's what the Comforter does for you. What did it say the Holy Spirit was? The Spirit of God. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in spirit. Okay. 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. If you believe he resurrected, and you put yourself in his care and from his word, then you will have eternal life. You will be with him forever. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's a family. 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. That's a condition, beloved. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to give them proof. They're going to see. That's what manifest means. With the presence of the Spirit, of course. 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is a different one, Judas, brother here. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Good question. 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, that's plural, and we will come unto him and make our abode. There's the word abode again. This is the same word as mansions, moni, or mone, with him. Our Father has made it so clear that Comforter will be with us always. And you can't go wrong without it. That's the Comforter that protects you. I don't know. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? It's real. It is the Spirit of our Father and the Son being one and the same. We making it a oneness. And so it is. I want to take you to a place where God declared this even in the Old Testament. He did that in Psalms 91. This would even be a Psalms that Satan would copy on the wilderness when he was tempting Christ, because he knew the essence of it. You should know the essence of it also. Psalms 91, listen carefully to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't find a safer place, beloved. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He protects me. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It doesn't matter what comes against you. Just be patient. Father will take care of business. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Always remember, it protects you from the darts of Satan, his word, because it gives you power over Satan. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. As God's elect, you don't have to worry. You use common sense and wisdom. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontime. Wherever Satan goes, however he attacks, you have power over him, and God will take care of it. Verse 7, why? How can he do that? 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When the Holy Spirit protects you, even during Armageddon and Haman Gog, they can't harm a hair on your head. Jesus promises that in Luke 21. He says, they will not bother one hair on your head. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You're going to see it in person. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You dwell there, mono, mani. You abide there. And that Spirit is in you. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He will protect it. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now this is the verse that Satan quoted in Matthew chapter 4. Only this is not the way he quoted it. He twisted it just a little bit. It, instead of saying all thy ways, he said at all time, whatever you do. But that's not what Christ said. In all thy ways, you stay in the way. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do you remember now Satan's words? 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's why Satan used it. Because you have power over him to trample him into the mire and have God's protection even while you're doing it. This was the reason Satan tried so desperately to have Christ to renege and believe upon him. What did he use? Scripture. Only he twisted it. That's why you should take Scripture very seriously, and with the simplicity in which God teaches with understanding, absorb it and live it. Verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Yahweh is a precious name to know. Yeshua the Son as well. 15. He shall call upon me. That's Christ and our Father. And I will answer him. Do you ever talk to him? Do you ever call on him? He will answer you. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. That's our Father. You can count on that. 16 to complete. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Father's promise. And as I said, New Testament, Old Testament, it doesn't matter. It's as important that you believe, that you abide, that you dwell, that you mansion in the presence of the living God and welcome him in by that comforter. It is a wonderful thing that Christ, even though he was crucified and he went to the right hand of God, being on the throne where he belonged, that he would not leave us comfortless, that he sent the Holy Spirit to watch over us, to protect us, to give you the wisdom to stay out of trouble. You know, will he honor a fool? Not if a fool doesn't study the word. A fool can fall into the abyss by accident. But one that honors and follows his commandment loves the Lord. And the Lord will dwell with him. Returning then to the 14th chapter of the great book of St. John, let's pick it up with verse 24. And it reads, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. He's not going to do it. And the word which you hear, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, God is the Word. Remember the first verse in this great book of St. John? The Word was with God, and in the beginning was that Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word is God. It's His Word, His way to do things. Why is that so important? Because he means what he says and he always fulfills what he says. But if you're a non-believer, what he's saying here, it doesn't apply to you. So you want to believe it is the Father's word. 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. While I'm here, I'm cutting you in on the truth. 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, I choose the word spirit instead of spook, whom the Father shall send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It is good to have the Holy Spirit to give you unction and recall of Scripture, of the Word, whereby you can be comfortable in it. When the Spirit dwells there, your recall is there. It's His promise, naturally. It is not important that you memorize every word in God's Word, but the essential parts of belief, faith, love, and obedience, you must remember and be a part of that family to be loved by Almighty God. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have every reason in the world to be comforted, to be happy, to be satisfied. Because the Father's with us. And He wants you to have that peace. That's the mansion. That's the resting place. Christ is that resting place. Our Father is that resting place. 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. And I come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. In other words, the conclusion is going to come to pass. It is written. 29. And now, I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. That's prophecy. When prophecy is given before the fact, then it gives one that builds faith. And certainly building faith is that faith in Him is what answer, brings prayer to be answered to its fulfillment. That is love, loving Him, loving the Father, loving the Word of comfort. For He sent the Comforter not to upset you, but to comfort you, to let you know, I'm with you, I'm watching you, I'm helping you. Trust me and love me, do my commandments, and I will bring you peace. That's such good advice. Don't ever forget it. All right. Bless your hearts. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We will not judge people. Why? Because God is the judge. You do have the gift of spiritual discernment if you love Him. And it gives you the knowledge to know what to believe and what not to believe. If it isn't of God's Word, then you want to be real careful what you believe. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. Excuse me. You don't need the address. Why? Well, God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. And He loves you. Return that love and be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Okay, Ronald from Ohio. Is there more things in the Bible that explains that we are not to fly away? Is there anything else in there that we need to be aware of? Well, you need to be aware of the whole word. But probably the simplest and the best way to understand, you're not flying away. The word rapture is not in the Bible. I know that a lot of people are persuaded into believing it, but it's not there. You will not find the word rapture. But when you go to the same book written in the second book to the Thessalonians, which corrects the first, for many misunderstand that fourth chapter of the first Thessalonians, it really breaks it down where it says, I want to talk to you about our gathering back to Christ. I want to tell you how it's going to happen. He said, and don't let my first letter or some spirit or some man deceive you. It's not going to get, we're not going to gather back to Christ until after the son of perdition, that's Antichrist, stand in the holy place, Jerusalem, claiming to be God. Now, that will happen before we gather back to Christ. And he makes that very clear. But he continues on then in a beautiful way and said, hey, if people want to believe the other stuff, that's all right. I'll send them a lie. I'll send them delusion where they can believe the lie. Why? Because he wants you to study his word. He wants you to understand the simplicity that is in his word where you're not deceived. There are many other places, but that'll help you. Mark from Minnesota, my wife and I love your teaching. Well, thank you. I know that man was created on the sixth day, and that Adam was created on the eighth day. My question is, am I correct in thinking that Adam and Eve were created separately to be caretakers of the Garden of Eden? No, they were separate because it would be through them that Eth Ha'adam said, let us create man in our image, God, that Son, Jesus Christ, would come through that lineage. And God always protected that womb, even from throughout time. Look at Tamar. Tamar, Judah was kind of messing around with a foreigner and had sons by that foreigner. That wouldn't work. That's not acceptable. And God kind of caused them to die. And Tamar had to play the harlot beside the road to be impregnated by Judah so that the true bloodline through which Christ would come would be true. I just give that as one little example throughout all the scripture itself of God protecting that seed line whereby the Christ child would come that would bring salvation to all mankind, every race, color, and creed that believed upon him. Rich from Wisconsin, can you tell me where I can find three world ages in the Bible? Well, probably one of the easiest places for the English reader would be 2 Peter chapter 3. Because all three, it'll say three worlds, but it's ages. In other words, instead of the word world being cosmos, or terra firma, or eretz, which means solid earth, it's eon. It means time. There's three different time periods, and they're all given there in the... There's three heaven ages and three earth ages. The first heaven and first earth are simultaneous. Second heaven, second earth, simultaneous. Third heaven, third earth, simultaneous. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. But it is clear in many other ways. I have a work titled The Three Earth Ages. You might order it, and if you need help in understanding, because the Bible is very secure. There was an earth age before this. If you don't understand that, you have blinders on where your vision is really shortened to understand God's word. But when you understand the three earth ages, It opens things up to where you can understand why God would hate Esau and love Jacob while they were still in the womb. It's what happened in the first earth age. God is always fair. Joyce from Illinois. I've been watching and learning. Okay. You speak of dinosaurs in the first earth age. Were dinosaurs in the first earth age carnivores? If so, how do you explain that? I thought that carnivores began in the second earth age, as did sin, because they were meat eaters. I thought all meat eaters of meat began in the... No, not, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's take two carnivores here. I mean, two... This is a mammoth. This tooth has the ivory of the teeth all inlaid because he was a grass eater, legumes. He used these to chew legumes. And then we have the dinosaur Rex. Here's his tooth. Rips, tears, a flesh eater. They were very wicked. And consumed much flesh. Okay, so I really have no idea where you got the idea there were no carnivores in the first Earth age, because there definitely were, and that in itself gives you proof. When you speak of the millennium and we are to teach discipline, what do you mean by discipline? I know we will teach the truth, the gospel, but what is discipline? A church or an organization without discipline is a dud. Discipline is where you have people that take responsibility for their own actions, that are willing to stand up and take the heat. They're not hothouse lilies. They're can-do, get-it-done type people. And discipline is the reason they are. Because they've disciplined themselves in following that word. Otherwise, without discipline, you have people being lax, sloppy, disregarding. And I'm not judging people here. This is, as an old Marine, I'm just telling you some facts that a Marine can experience every day by looking out in this world. That how bad it needs discipline. Even in some high places. So discipline is a wonderful thing. You know, do you understand that our word discipline, do you know what it comes from? Disciple. The disciples are supposed to discipline themselves in the Word of God, okay? And please don't take offense at that. That's what discipline is. If you had... Oh, well, I'll leave it there. But discipline is a beautiful thing. It makes everyone's life a lot better and a lot happier when you understand discipline. Alice from Michigan, thank you for the mentioning the staff and ourselves. Not too long ago, I was physically touched by an evil spirit while watching TV. It scared me witless. I am afraid of Satan. Do you have any scripture about God's protection against the devil? I would like to know. I don't like being assaulted physically. Well, you don't have to worry about it. You know, today's lecture was pretty good. Psalms 91. It lets you know how God... But more than that, read Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Begin reading with Luke 10, verse 18. Where God says, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as a star from heaven. I give you power over the dragon, the serpent, all of Satan's names. I give you power over them in my name. So you got nothing to worry about. This fear is a terrible thing when you have God's love and the Comforter, okay? Let the Comforter work for you. Believe Him. Joe from Alabama. And thanks for watching. I love you. Okay. Thank you. I also read by myself along. Is it a bad for me to not go to church? It is the Lord, and I can't keep up. Oh, they are too loud, and I can't keep up with them. I am slow always and have been slow to learn, but I have learned a lot watching you. Will I go to hell for not going to church? You're in church we are a church. When you study God's word with us, you are in church at that time. So, if there is a building holding meetings and they're too loud that you can even not concentrate, why would you want to go there? I'm not going to judge them, but most likely God's not there. Because God, this is Scripture, is the author of peace, not confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if you're in a place where it's confused, I'm sorry, you probably won't find Christ there. They probably wouldn't let him in the building. Barbara from California. Do the fallen angels have a shadow? Of course they do. They were able to impregnate the daughters of Adam. And so naturally they are an exactness, an image of us, and only they are angelic. Our bodies were sustained by angels' food, which is what manna was. Excuse me. It was called angels' food. 40 years in the wilderness, our people existed on that. So when he said he created us in the exact image, just a different material but same being. Eddie from Oklahoma. How far from the spring equinox is Passover? I teach that we are children of light, and that the new year begins with the spring equinox, which is solar, and it will always happen basically at the same time. You're going to find it in March the 20th, 21st. It's going to fall right in there every year. And 15 days later, 15 days into that first month, is Passover. And then following that 15-day period, you have, by the solar calendar, a group of 7 times 50. That is to say, the first 50 days after is Pentecost. 50 days, naturally... That gives you the 14 days, and the 750s gives you the full year. Solar. It's not night like devil. It's not night like Satan's prophecies are always given in moons, months, but days. Solar. Children of God. Harina from California. My question may seem silly, but it is a concern to me. Well, it's not silly then. I understand the sacrifice of Jesus' blood sacrifice come to, and yet in Ezekiel, the chapters of the millennium starting with 43:18 speaks of offerings. Will there be blood offerings? No, Christ's blood was once and for all, never again. What are offerings then? What God let you know in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's your grace. That's what he wants from you. And you will give that love sacrificially in the millennium. I could put that a different way. When you see the Father, you see his works and how he comforts his children that believe. Through thick and thin, how could you help but love him and sacrifice love to him? You couldn't help yourself. Kathy from Georgia. Mr. Murray, when you say a child can understand the Bible, sometimes I think something is wrong with me if I don't get it, and I'm far from being a child. I will keep listening and watching you both, and I pray and I will that I will be able to understand more of it. Thank you for teaching, because when I say that, I'm saying if you'll just let the word flow and throw out all the recaps you've had from this church, that church, or another church, and listen to God speak, the word, then you see that's going to come through in the simplicity that Christ taught it. And certainly I'm not talking down to anyone when I say that. I'm saying relax, rest in Him. Listen to His word, not man's, and understand the truth. Chris from California, even though we know the mark of the beast is in our heads, not a chip implanted, but if we are required by our government to have a chip implanted, will we be going against God's word? Not if you were forced, but don't worry, our government is not going to force anyone to have chips implanted in themselves. That will never happen. But there may be some that will try it. But this is still the land of the free. But it is not what's on you or in you. It's what's in your mind. It's what you think. If you love God, nobody can take that away from you. And so it is. David from Minnesota. I am curious about the purpose of the two witnesses, and I am wondering why they torment men. They don't torment good men. Certainly Satan tries to torment them. And God gives them special, inasmuch as Satan is supernatural then, even though they're still in the flesh, transfigured, God gives them power over Satan, which He does even us. But they have supernatural abilities to stop the rain, to cause this to happen, as you read in Revelation chapter 11. And and of course, they pay the price. And what price is it that they pay? They're murdered. And it's called, it says in the streets of Jerusalem, is not street. The word is pata, which means it's a huge arena. And because Christ rose from the tomb, they're not going to let anybody bury the two witnesses. They're going to leave them right in the middle of that arena to show that they do not resurrect. But guess what happens? 3 days later, the seventh trump sounds, and they are resurrected from that street right in the... And fear, a paralyzing fear is what the Greek states, comes over the enemy when they see life coming into those two witnesses. And then Christ returns and takes care of business. Robin from Michigan. What scriptures can I use to encourage a friend who is down on her luck and feels lost and frustrated? Well, try Psalms 91 that we were teaching today and kind of explain it a little bit to her. Take her into the 14th chapter of St. John and let her know God sent a comforter to comfort her. She is a child of God. Though she may have a little down period, He still loves her. As long as she loves Him. And to let that scripture strengthen her, let the Holy Spirit strengthen her. Harry from North Carolina. If God loves us so much, why would He send us to hell? Well, He doesn't love those He sends to hell. Haven't you ever read where God would say while they were still in the womb, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated? God is a jealous God, and the children that follow Him, that love Him, nobody's perfect, but that try. He's going to get rid of everybody that would offend them, would smart off, or try to not let peace come to the world. We want them gone. It is a thing of love, tough love, yes. But, you know, I could put it a little different way. Do you have family? Well, probably you do. If some outside force tried to abuse your family, attack them, or to come against them, what would you do about it? You certainly wouldn't wish them well. You would have them pushed away. Well, that's what God intends to do to those that will not bring peace to heaven. There's no place there for them. Okay, and I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, when you read the letter He sent to you, it makes His day. And that's what He wants from you, is that love. That's what you show when you study that Word. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, then help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, listen to me. You listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying.